Good evening, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Horror Friendly Podcast. My name is Katie, and I am joined yet again by my partner in crime, Chantelle.
Hey, how you doing?
Hey, I'm all right. I'm dying, but I'm
I
all
say,
right.
you sound not better, if I'm honest.
No, it kind of all went downhill again, but
Yeah.
haven't got tonsillitis anymore, so that's always nice.
Might have had something to do with the night out.
It might have done. It might have done. Oh, a little horror friendly night out that we had. It could be that. How are you feeling? Have you recovered?
Yeah, I feel good. It was funny. I had like training on Sunday morning and everyone was laughing at me because at the end I was like, I'm really tired. I don't like my voice was a bit worn from screaming in the club. And they're
In the
like,
club.
in the club. And they're like, are you all right? I was like, yeah. And they were like, when did you go out? Were you out last night? I was like, no, like 2 nights ago. And I'm still,
Love it.
I just take longer to recover now.
Yeah, now we're old. Now we're 30. It's a different situation.
This is what's annoying is we're like not that old. How is
We're
it?
not.
But also it just hits so quick. Like we went out at Halloween and we were fine. I like literally turned 30 and the next time we go out, we're struggling. And I'm like, that's not right. Something
I
else was,
know.
I mean, at least you could blame it on your tonsils. I couldn't.
Well, yeah, and then I've just like suddenly got a cold, so that's fun. I don't know where the fuck that's come from, but
Yeah. Anyway.
anywho,
I'm not sure if this will make you feel better or worse, but shall we talk about this week's film?
let's do
Trigger warning for all our
Ooh.
listeners. We will definitely be talking about violence against women and rape in this film. So if this is not the episode for you, enjoy another one and we'll see you next week.
There is an idea of a Patrick Bateman. Some kind of abstraction, but there is no real me, only an entity, something illusory. And though I can hide my cold gaze, and you can shake my hand and feel flesh gripping yours, and maybe you can even sense our lifestyles are probably comparable, I simply am not there.
This week, we are doing the 2000 American Psycho. A wealthy New York City investment banking executive, Patrick Bateman, hides his alternate psychopathic ego from his co-workers and friends as he delves deeper into his violent, hedonistic fantasies. Is it hedo or hedonistic?
Oh, I
You know
don't
what I mean.
know.
But Katie, do you remember your first time watching this?
I don't remember it strictly, no. I just know I hadn't watched it in a very long time when I watched it for this time for the pod. But there were bits that I kind of, well, I've seen it a few times. So there were bits that sort of were coming back to me, but I didn't. Yeah, I don't remember the first time I watched this. I remember loving it like instantly. But it is one of those films that just I haven't seen in so long. So rewatching it was really fun to like pick up some of the things that like maybe I missed when I first watched it or just things that I'd forgotten that happened in the film. And it was again just really fun to revisit like the scenes that you know are in there, like the classic Huey Lewis in the news, whole scene. So good, and I just like forgot how good that was, and it just made me like reappreciate it all over again. So yeah, no, I don't strictly remember, but it was really fun to watch it back, definitely. Yeah, what about you? Do you remember when you first watched it?
I think I was like mid-teenager. I think so. We used to have loads of DVDs at home. I think I've said it before where like there'd be films for kind of everyone in the family. And I remember seeing American Psycho like for years and I kept seeing it. Actually, I might have been slightly younger than a mid-teen. But because it had the word psycho in it, I knew it was going to be like a horror. And I was really intrigued by it because I was like, well, what the fuck does that like? I knew what a psycho was. I was like, what the fuck's an American Psycho? Why America? What's that specific to? Whereas, like some horrors, the name isn't always like a giveaway. I'm trying to think of a good example that I can't really off the top of my head. Like The Shining, that like doesn't actually tell you that it's going to be a horror film. So anyway, I just knew I wanted to watch it, and I can't remember how I got away with it. I can't remember again, there was like so many of us in the house. I can't remember how I was like home alone, or. what was it, how it came about, but I basically took it upstairs, managed to sneak the film upstairs and watch it. And I remember kind of loving it because it was so, it is like ridiculously gory, but like you kind of see the right amount of gore because you see like more of the blood splatters than the actual like axe go in or anything like that. So I liked the way they did it, but it, I don't know, there was just something about it that kind of stuck with me. And I think it was the kills, because I don't think at the time I appreciated it for the things like, okay, right at the beginning, him talking about his skincare routine, like none of that, or like him acting as a psychopath while like the whole sort of, the whole other actual meaning behind it meant nothing to me at the time. So it is cool watching it again as an adult to be like, oh, there was like a lot of shit going on in this film, more than just the stabby stabby.
Yeah, well, I know what you mean about it being violent, because it's almost like it's left to your imagination, because like Paul Allen's death, for example, like you kind of see bits, but you don't see as much as maybe when we first watched it that we thought we were going to see.
Yeah,
a lot of it is off screen, or like when he takes the two sex workers back the first time, and he gets the coat hanger out, and you don't see what actually happens. You see they've got bloody noses and bloody faces, but you don't know what exactly has happened, and it's just left to your imagination. And I think sometimes that's a lot scarier.
Yeah, because it was all sex until that point, and then all of a sudden it was, we're not done yet. And yeah, as you say, all left to your imagination. We didn't see what he actually did. We just know it was fucking horrific. Like, or at least we can assume.
Yeah, like you see the sex, but the sex is the sex. And then it cuts off when it gets taken, gets taken one step too far, and you don't know what's just happened.
No.
And it, yeah, your mind comes up with all these horrific things. And I think, and obviously there are obviously gory bits, like when he's, you know, he throws the chainsaw down at her and things like that. But even that, like you don't see it until the aftermath. Like you don't see actually going into her skin or like on her or anything. So a lot of it is just like implied, which
I think that's really well done, because that actually reflects the film, in that obviously when he confesses at the end and then bumps into his lawyer and he's like, well, you didn't kill Paul Allen, I had dinner with him 2 days ago. Like, it kind of still raises that question of like, well, did it happen? Like, you don't actually see it, because, and we don't actually know what he did and didn't do. But I mean, I've skipped right to the end. Spoilers. But like his notebook, his diary that his assistant pulls out, like there's some really gory graphic pictures and doodles in that. But there's a lot more in there than we actually see in the film. So I just think it's really interesting kind of how they did that, and like the whole way throughout the film, they are kind of hinting at what he's doing without explicitly showing you, or showing you him do it. We only see the aftermath, or we don't see it at all. We just suddenly see a body. But fuck me, when he's in that apartment and there's like six bodies in there, I'm like, we've seen him kill like two people, maybe more. I lost count, but it wasn't that many. And when he's listing them off, and I'm like, where are all these names coming? Like 40 people. Yeah. We saw like four. Like, what is happening? Yeah. So it is interesting.
And if he did actually do it, like when he's on the phone to his lawyer, he's like, I may have killed 20, 40. Like, he doesn't even fucking know how many he's killed.
No.
Like, if that's true, like, that just shows like how much of a state of mind he was in at the time.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
It's, yeah. I think it, but again, I think that is because it was reflecting on like Wall Street and guys on Wall Street in the 70s, 80s, wasn't it?
The yuppies.
I did watch a thing because it was like explaining the ending, and it was saying that like, I can't remember exactly, like, I'll try and find it so I can share it. But it was saying that it is like such a narrative of like people at that time, and they're so self-obsessed that actually they don't even know each other's names. And it's like they're all trying so hard to impress each other. And it's true, like Patrick Bateman gets mistaken for other people the entire film. Like, it's so such a weird mentality. But I really think it does such a good job of showing that. And then it is like, I think it's films like this that made me think, I think it made me think two things about being an adult. I think it made me think that, oh my God, I'm going to come across psychopaths so much more in my day to day and be able to spot them. Because this is the thing, psychopaths are like everywhere. But if they acted like him, I feel like I'd be able to tell.
Yeah.
But then also I thought trying to get a dinner reservation was going to be a much bigger part of my life. I thought going out for dinner after work was going to be like a much bigger deal. And it was like because of this sort of film. And those magazines always used to have like, oh, how to make your day to night outfit. And I really thought this was going to be our lives. It'd be like, oh, we need a reservation for 8 o'clock and all that bullshit.
Yeah, it is crazy. It's crazy seeing like him around other people and how he kind of is hiding who he is.
Mm.
But at the same time, he's not. Like when he speaks to his peers or his friends or whatever he wants to call them, he like will throw in like a Ted Bundy reference and then none of them laugh and everyone's like a bit weirded out by him.
Yeah.
You would think if you're trying to cover yourself, like you would do as much as possible. And when he's in the cab with Evelyn, he's trying to listen to that song and he explains to her, he's like, I want to fit in. And like, he's being so kind of like open like,
yeah.
about that. But then other points, obviously he's just, and you know, it shows, doesn't it? Like when he's talking to the women and he's like, oh, I'm into murders and executions mostly. And she mishears him. And your prime example of when he confesses to his lawyer.
Yeah.
And if all of those things did happen, either it got covered up because he's a white, wealthy, privileged man and it all got covered up for him because it was easier to cover it up than anything. Or people just aren't listening to him. They're not paying attention. This Patrick Bateman guy isn't the one. He wants to be Paul Allen. He wants to be someone else.
Well, I think what was interesting was like, when he confesses and when his lawyer's like, no, Patrick Bateman would never do that. He's too, I can't remember the word he used. Spineless. I wrote it down. Like, so whether or not he's actually playing this character really well and we're only seeing things in his head, because there were times when it was like flipping what he was actually saying compared to what he wanted to. So whether he was playing it so well that everyone actually thought he was spineless, but then that also plays against the fact he wanted of how he wanted people to think of him. But, or unless, again, as I said, half of them didn't know each other's names.
Yeah.
And like they give the detective his name. They're like, oh, we were out at dinner with him last night. Do they know each other's names? Which makes the business card scene even funnier if they're actually putting down their business cards and no one knows. And they're like, oh, shit, that's your name.
A really funny thing about that is that I noticed on the business cards that acquisitions were spelt wrong.
Oh, really?
On the cards. So either that was like a genuine mistake, or I'd like to think that it's because none of them know what they're fucking doing in their jobs. So they just don't even know how to spell the word acquisitions, let alone do the job, which I think, if that was on purpose, that's a very smart move.
Well, I'm not being funny, but we watch Patrick Bateman during his work day, and all he does is listen to music. Like, he doesn't work. He doesn't have, like, he has a place to go. He has a job. He doesn't do anything. And yeah. Is it said that it's his dad's company?
Yeah, I think Evelyn implies that. Like, yes. Your dad's practically the CEO or something.
Yeah. So maybe his dad's just another big shot who no one knows his name. But so actually he's a Nepo baby.
Yeah.
Patrick Bateman, the Nepo baby.
No, it's crazy because even when like Jean, his assistant, is saying stuff, it's all about drinks and dinners and things in the evening. It's nothing to do with meetings or...
So the only meeting even when she's going through his diary, it's empty. The only meeting he has is with the detective and then going out for drinks with his buddies. What do they do? Aren't they like on Wall Street? Aren't they supposed to be making a shit ton of money? Like, are we in the wrong job? Are we? I want a job where I get paid a shit ton to do fuck all. I could just do the podcast all day.
We'd get so many episodes out, wouldn't we?
Oh yeah, one a day, because that'd be all right. But it's so weird with him as well, because like literally right at the start, as you say, like when he's with his peers, he's like a different he's kind of hiding who he is, but also kind of not. He's the one who's like calls his friend out and is like, hey, let's not be anti-Semitic. But he's willing to murder people. And he's homophobic. So it's like, sorry, hang on. Well, you can't, what? You can't suddenly be the good guy.
I know. So clueless and like misogynistic in the way all of them talk. Oh, if a woman does have valid points or they are clever, then they're going to be ugly.
That's still opinions that people have today. And like, I know that, you know, that's not going to go away any fucking time quick. It fucking should. But my sister shared something on Instagram the other day. She was doing a lot of research. But it was something like that, I think it was someone in Parliament. I may be wrong, so don't quote me on that. But it was someone in like a high power position who was like, oh, well, you know, if this lady's doing this, that and the other, oh, well, you know, she can't be pretty. Oh, shit, it was about Carol Vorderman. Because Carol Vorderman's trying to get everyone to vote, to like vote the Tories out.
Right.
And somebody turned around and basically said, well, she can't have everything. Like her Instagrams, like, because she does loads of fitness stuff, her in like a sports bra, and she has got big boobs. Sorry, that she does. That's not her fault. And they're like, she can't have it both ways. And it's like, yes, you can. Like, just because a lady's pretty doesn't mean she's not smart.
Yeah.
And it's, again, it was a conversation they were having years ago, and they still are.
Mm.
And Carol Vorderman's proved for fucking years she's hella smart.
Mm. Well, no, I obviously, I mean, Jesus, misogyny is fucking absolutely everywhere. But I think just for them to be talking so outwardly about it is so extreme. Patrick doesn't kind of correct them at all.
No.
On that part of it.
Yeah. It's like, it's what he pick and chooses to try and like defend. Mm. You're like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
Almost like what I also did notice of that beginning scene is like they all put their cards down. I kind of, they're like, oh, 600, that's good. And then they all just throw in their identical platinum cards.
Yeah.
The next scene, they're in a dodgy looking club. They're all using cash. And it's almost like that where they don't want to be traced there, or it's like a split their personality of like what they'll let people see with their name on the card versus what they won't. Yeah. Although I think he does try to use his card in the club, and then she's like, you can't take it. And the mirror, he has a different thing, which is quite cool.
Mm. So do you think with that she heard that, but she just chose not to engage?
No.
Or do you think that he said it in his head?
I think he said it in his head. I think that's what the reflection was for, was like what he wanted to say, but he couldn't. So I think it was just, because then I think, because when he's in like the dry cleaners and he shouts at her, I think that's when in his head, because of the way they cut it.
Mm.
So I don't think he's actually... And I think that's it. We're at the beginning of the film, we're seeing him kind of break. And then it obviously escalates. Because even the bit in the nightclub where he says about like in murders and executions, I don't know if that actually was for our entertainment or if he actually said that. Because when she's like, oh, mergers. And I was like,
He didn't say that. Yeah.
Although I do like when he walks into the building as well. Sorry, I was completely moved onto a different thought process there.
No, I was going to touch on the fact that he brings Jean round, and he's literally about to kill her. And then the voice message from Evelyn kind of stops him in his tracks completely. And he kind of has like a human moment where he's like, I don't want to hurt you. You need to leave. And it's almost like, I don't know. I don't know why the voicemail from Evelyn made him think that. Like, surely that would infuriate him more because he can't stand her. But he let Jean go and was just like...
Yeah.
And that was quite... Well, it's obviously meant to be extremely out of character for him. But, like, yeah, really interesting. Because, you know, you kind of don't really think that Patrick Bateman takes any... He doesn't sort of spare anyone. But he did this time.
Yeah, it's such a weird one because I don't know what he was thinking of that. And I don't know why. Like, again, why this whole time was he like not, like, he was really rude to her. He was like telling her how to dress and how to act and everything.
He was vile.
Yeah. I don't know, I don't know what it was about that phone call. Because as you say, like, he hasn't been nice to Evelyn the entire fucking film. He doesn't like his fiance. And then did someone ask him at one point if he had a, if he was in a relationship? He's like, no, not really. He's like, you're engaged. Yeah. You're useless.
Well, maybe he kind of thought of it like how he feels about Evelyn compared to Jean. Like, he has a soft spot for Jean. I suppose she's more of like a human in his life, knows who he is.
I wonder if it's more like, again, she serves a purpose. Whereas Evelyn almost, again, we don't know what Evelyn does during the day. All we know, well, we know she's having an affair on him, but he's also shagging everyone. So we don't know what Evelyn does or if she does anything. Whereas he's obviously, Jean actually books his appointments and his fucking dinner reservations, and he can tell her how to dress and be manipulated. So maybe it's part of that. Although he then, his friend who stands up to him and winds him up, he seems to quite like that banter as well, where it's like, it's weird, you cannot figure him out. But I don't think we're supposed to figure him out.
No, I think he's a very complicated character, but
yeah,
extremely vile human being, but kind of like also has these weird moments.
It's when he's going on, it's like at the beginning, he does the face, the morning routine, which is intense as fuck. I saw a thing, and it was, if you find the article, it's a waste of time. Somebody was like, I followed Patrick Bateman's skincare routine, and all they do is list the products that they used. I was like, no, I want to know, did it work? Did it help?
we should try it.
Yeah, how moisturized do you feel? Like, no, it was just trying to sell me products. I was like, I don't give a shit about that. I can find my own fucking products. Well,
to be fair, yeah. I don't think I could do 1,000 crunches. Stomach crunches that he can do.
I'll go with 10. but it's that bit. Then he talks about an idea of Patrick Bateman. So it is that where he's like, yeah, it's an idea. He's not real.
I'm simply not there. Like,
no.
Yeah, that's, yeah. It is, although, like an idea. Yeah. Like he's obviously not, he's not satisfied with how he is. Like, look how heartbroken he is when he sees Paul Allen's business card. Like,
yeah.
Oh my God, it even has a watermark. Like, he's so, and his voice kind of cracks when he's like, let's see Paul Allen's. Because he's so, like, so devastated that he isn't the one, that he isn't number one.
But he's like, that sweating, apparently the guys in the room were like, he could do that on command. So like, they would call cut and then he'd stop. And then they'd say, like, action, he'd start sweating again. I was like, I've never known someone able to sweat on command. That's weird. But what I love about that as well is they'd have ordered their business cards, which means he chose the black ink and the egg shit, whatever, and the raised. Like, why did he not just pick that shit for himself? Like, that sounds really stupid and really obvious, but it's when he goes, oh, there's a watermark. I was like, did he not know that was an option? Like,
he probably didn't.
He might not have. He
probably saw it and was like, oh, yeah, why didn't I think of that?
Yeah, because he clearly thinks of himself as having very good taste, which again, I think is really insulting to him when Christine, when he goes to the, takes her to the second apartment and she's like, oh, this is nicer than your other one. He's like, no, it isn't. And it's like, oh, apparently he's very sensitive about his taste.
Yeah, that is hilarious. Or when he goes out for dinner with Paul Allen, and Paul Allen's like, oh, you got a nice tan, where'd you go? And he said, oh, tanning salon. He said, oh, well, I've got one in my flat, you know, you should get one. And the way his face drops, and he's just like, fuck, why didn't I think for him, it's like, why didn't I think of that first?
Yeah.
He wants to be the one that does things first. And I think that's part of his insecurities. And
yeah, he even needs to do it first or
do it better.
Do it better, because that's the thing. It's like 1,000 crunches. It's such a ridiculous amount of crunches. Like, I mean, fair plucking fillet if you can do it, but like, people who can do that many crunches tend to be training for something or have trained for a long time. It's not just, I'm going to knock these out first thing in the morning. That's that's mental. That's psychotic. But I love that everything about him is like a contradiction as well, where he's like, I'm going to really look after myself, my body, my skin. But he doesn't look after his mental health. His mental health's fucking shit. Like,
he takes coke, he drinks a lot.
Yeah. So it's like, I'm going to look after my body, but I'm not. I'm going to have the idea of Patrick Bateman. And then he has like an absolute bitch face walking into the office. But then like, I'm walking on sunshine. He's playing. And I'm like, I love this. I feel like I'm the opposite in the office. I'll sit with like something really heavy on with a smiley face.
that scene with him in, it's been like memed so many times where like they've changed the song into like death metal or just like something funny. But to be fair, I think we're gonna have a lot of good content to upload
So many bloody memes in this one. But it's just so good. Like the soundtrack in this is fantastic.
Like,
as about you, I've listened to Hip to Be Square so many times.
Yes. Yeah. Well, literally, I was in town the other day and I literally looked up American Psycho playlist on Spotify and I found Patrick Bateman's playlist. So I put that on. I was walking down the street. I had like my long coat on as well, which didn't help because I literally felt like a yuppie in New York. And I was listening to Lady in Red and I was like, oh my God, like, or like Genesis, Huey Lewis in the News, Whitney Houston, Phil Collins, fucking list goes on, David Bowie. And they were all on there. And I was like, I have the same music taste as Patrick Bateman right now. Like, this isn't okay.
But it is. I mean,
yeah, it's an absolutely brilliant soundtrack. And each song fits so perfectly into each scene.
Yeah, we do have a similar film taste as well, because he was doing crunches at one point while watching Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
He was.
But it was at the end. So I was like, has he been doing crunches the entire film? No wonder he has like six pack.
God, yeah. But yeah, I mean, I think Hip to Square as well was the perfect scene for that. The perfect sound for that particular scene. Just because also like the meaning of it, like it's about this guy trying to fit in, like it's now hip to be square and to like work out all the time and not go out. And the band, they're trying to conform to being like that, much like Patrick Bateman is, like he's trying to be as like hip as possible. So it was such a good song. And also it was just like an upbeat, fun 80s song. I mean, this film is based in 1987, so it's going to have a lot of like 80s bangers in it.
I just love it. I just love that. To be fair, it's when that scene happens, and because it's Jared Leto's Paul Allen getting absolutely mad. It's when he's like, do you have a little dog, like a little chow? No, Paul. No, Paul. Is that a raincoat? Yes, Paul.
Yes, it is.
It's so good.
It's unbelievable. I mean, later on we'll go into it, but Christian Bale is just sublime in this. Like,
he is. You know, he was really well cast.
And Jared Leto, I think that's probably one of the last good films he was in. So,
I can't actually remember Jared Leto's. There is a running joke with Jared Leto that it must be in his contract that he has to die in every film. Die or get disfigured, because like every time, which is quite funny. What is the thing about returning videotapes? Sorry, that was really off topic. I just saw it in my notes. Every time he has to go somewhere, he's like, I need to return some videotapes. What is that about?
I think it's just his excuse to get out of uncomfortable situations.
Like, he's a what's his job title? Vice president?
Why is he like a banker, but...
Yeah, I'm pretty sure on his business card it said, like, vice president. I'm like, why doesn't he not just say, I've got a meeting? I have to return some videotapes. That's going to be my new excuse every time I need to do something.
say that. Yeah, well, that's what I mean. That's just another one of his things that just doesn't make any sense.
No.
What he's trying to get out of when he was saying to Evelyn, you're not incredibly important to me. She's just, like, absolutely devastated in the restaurant, and he's just like... I have to return videotapes. I'm going.
I love that first she's not there. She's like, not today, Patrick. It's like, how was she not murdered?
she's just not listening to him. And then it's when he starts to sound a bit more serious about it, is when she actually starts to look up and be like, okay, this is actually happening. Like, he doesn't want to marry me. But yeah. Whether she's just pretending to be upset, I don't know, or she just likes the relationship to be where they don't really see each other that much. And
I think it's that kind of typical society thing where, like, well, you're supposed to get engaged, you're supposed to get married. So she's just like going through the motions.
Yeah. And he's trying to, like,
yeah,
you know, fit. So that's yeah. what he's doing too.
They don't like each other, but that's fine because he can keep shagging around on her and it doesn't matter.
Exactly.
Because she's also cheating, but
she likes the arrangement, I think. So I think she was more upset about like that ending.
It's when she's like, all our friends are friends, like we're intertwined. We can't, and again, it's that like disruption to the to the norm. And it's like, well, yeah. what the fuck?
And he's like, you can have them.
Is it because I did write this down? Every time he asks for a sex worker, he's looking for a blonde. Right. Is his obsession with blondes? Because I was like, who's blonde? Why? What's his obsession? Is it because he's trying to kill Evelyn?
Maybe.
Because I literally was like, was it his mum? Was it a sister? Was it his ex? Or I'm now thinking, was it literally he was trying to kill his fiance? But because he didn't want that normal life. But he had to do it because he was trying to fit in.
Yeah, so he can't kill her. So he's just trying to kill someone blonde instead.
But that's what some serial killers do. Like Ted Bundy killed brunettes because his ex was brunette. So yeah, I think maybe it's to do with Evelyn, because I did read a thing where you've read the book, so you might be able to tell me more here. They didn't want to give him like a mom or a sister. And I think they mentioned his dad and that's it. Because they didn't want to give him like family and kind of humanize him or give him like any reason for like why he is the way he is or like blame the parents sort of thing. So I don't know. Is the mum mentioned in the book? Because I know there's been like spin-offs.
Yeah, I don't exactly remember. I read the book about 15 years ago. But
how dare you not remember?
I know. 10, 15 years ago, I think I read it. I don't remember. I don't actually remember there being any mention of that either. I know, yeah, it's important to them in the film to not give him much of a backstory.
Yeah.
I'll have to look into it, but I don't believe there's like a specific mention of his childhood or anything like that.
No,
they obviously
fine.
Wanted to keep that shit very like kind of almost make him like not human.
Well, it was that, and it was, yeah, so they couldn't forgive, because obviously they do there was a huge, I think it was around the 80s, where they were trying to find what's it called, mind something, where they were trying to figure out if you could predict like if someone was going to be a sociopath, like based on like childhood experiences. But yeah, they didn't want to give him anything like, oh, he had a bad mum or anything, so like, yeah, for us to feel bad for him, like, no, he's just an American psycho.
Yeah, like there's no kind of redeeming qualities about him whatsoever. Like, you can't blame this on anyone else other than him.
Yeah, you can't blame you can't blame someone else for someone murdering.
No.
But yes.
And what I was going to touch on was obviously the whole behind the scenes aspect of this film and how Christian Bale was cast.
Yeah.
So I know the director, Mary Harron, I think was quite keen to get Christian Bale on board pretty early on. And then as soon as Christian Bale had known of this, he was super keen to do it. Like, as far as he was concerned, the role was his, like, regardless of anything. But the studio were very, very reluctant to hire Christian Bale because he was pretty unknown at the time.
Right.
And they wanted Leonardo DiCaprio, who was extremely interested in it. At the same time as all of this happening, people from both camps, so both Christians and Leos, they were both like, this is career suicide, like, if you take this role. And because obviously Leonardo DiCaprio had just done Titanic, so he had quite a young fan base, and he was this kind of pretty boy, poster boy. So if he took a role like American Psycho, it could potentially have been career suicide for him, or he may not have had the career he has now. He may not have taken or been offered those roles, the roles that he was offered. Now, maybe he would, who knows? But yeah, eventually it came to it where then Christian Bale was dropped, Mary Harron was dropped, they brought in loads of new people. But there's rumours that a few people had stepped in to sway Leonardo DiCaprio off of doing the role. I think he was pretty keen at one point though, but and then it came back to Mary and Christian back together again. But apparently in this time, like, Mary would or Christian would phone and be like, you do know, like, this is still ours, like, this is still my role, like, aww, don't worry, it's still gonna happen, like, that isn't gonna be made, like, I am Patrick Bateman. It's my role. And he was so convinced. And everyone was just like, dude, it's not happening. Like, you've got fucking Leo. Like, nothing's going to happen. And then obviously it did happen.
So I heard that he actually spoke to Leo, was like, no, don't take it, please. I need this. And I was
oh my
like,
God.
But I think you are right. If, can you imagine, like, as you say, like, straight after Titanic, I think DiCaprio did have a very young fan base. I think if he'd gone straight to a film like this, like, I don't know about career suicide, but I think it would have been interesting. Now we've seen him in things like Wolf of Wall Street, where we've seen him more outrageous. Well, yeah, I think it's okay, but he's, you know, he grew into that sort of role. Yeah. I think having gone from, yeah, the pretty boy love interest, I don't know. I don't know if anyone would have taken him seriously. That's really weird, actually, for actors that they have to think about. You wouldn't think one job would affect another, but actually, I guess it really does.
Well, Christian Bale, he's such a fascinating actor. Like, I was watching an interview with him today, and he was saying about this role and how he was like, people were telling him it was career suicide, and he was like, let's find out. Let's see if it is. And he was like, I was turning down other roles while I was like waiting to see if I'd get this role. And he was like, they weren't big roles, but like I was turning down other shit because I was focused on this. I was still working out. I was still getting the perfect like Bateman body.
Wow.
Like it was my role as far as I was concerned. And he was saying that like once it came out, he was getting death threats, and because people didn't like the film and the nasty nature of it. There was this like one alleyway that he like lived by, and people were threatening him down there. And his friends were like, don't go down there, don't go down there. And he was like, I'm going to go down there. I'm going to see what they fucking want. And he walked down and he was like, no sign of anyone. Like, he's just a fucking nutcase. And like,
he is Bateman, Jesus.
And like, and then when he was cast as Batman in the interview, he was like, oh, people were saying, don't know about this, Christian, like you might be typecast, you'll always be known as Batman. And he was like, well, if I'm always going to be known as Batman, I'm obviously not a very good actor, am I? So
there's also worse,
like, if that's the only thing.
There's also worse characters to be known as.
I guess people don't want to be typecast like Daniel Radcliffe, Harry Potter and all of that, like that kind of thing. But like, he was like, if they're going to typecast me as that, then that's my own fault for not bringing out something better once I've been Batman. Like, yeah. It, just his way of thinking. And he's a method actor, so he was completely just Bateman on screen, off screen, constantly reading the book, constantly like thinking about stuff. He's just such a fascinating person.
It is. So I did see, actually, so he was following the skincare routine as well. And that pill,
really?
Only, yeah, that pill only took one take. So it does make me wonder if, because he was doing it every morning, if he just got really good at it. Because actually, I couldn't do that in one take.
No. His skin was amazing, actually, thinking about it.
Well, I don't, well, again, wrong podcast for this. We are not a skincare podcast. But like every time I exfoliate, I break out. So it was a risky move because sometimes your skin takes a day or two to clear up. So actually, if he had to be on camera every day, it could have backfired. But he might have started early enough that he was past that point. I don't know. It clearly worked for him. So maybe it's my products. But so no, I saw that. But I also saw, so yeah, it's incredible like that he did get this role. But I saw that, but he was basically going to lose his house. So when he was obviously offered the role, they knew how much he wanted it and knew that he needed it, because I think he was, okay, I might get it wrong. But I think the article said he was supporting his dad and maybe his brother as well. Like they were all living in this house and they were going to lose it. So he was like, well, I have to take the role. Like, I need the money. But because they know, like, they knew how desperate he was, they lowballed him. And he was actually making less money than the makeup artists. Now, I found this out because I was trying to find the SFX makeup artists and actually couldn't find very much on the SFX. But I found all this out. And, like, the makeup artists used to kind of, like, tease him because they were like, we're making more than you, which is kind of really sad. But it's... In my head, I was like, it's really sad. And I feel slightly less sad about it because he became so successful. If it was like, this was his big hit and we never heard from him again, that would be like, oh, that poor guy.
Yeah.
But I was like, but flip the script. Like every film, these makeup artists have to get up at 4 a.m. to do makeup on some, I'm not saying Christian Bale, but some actors who are so fucking rude to them, knowing they're making like 10% of their paycheck, if that. So I was like, and don't be wrong, I'm not vouching either side. Like, there needs to be, and I know there was a lot of protests and everything last year, the writers' strikes. So I know there is a lot of like people trying to speak up and get like a lot more fair pay across movie industry in general. But it just seems mean either way to be like mocking someone for making less than you when they're there doing the long hours, doing it all. And I know actors as well do have to do a lot of rigorous stuff. Like you say, he was doing the exercises and that for like before the recording even began. But it just seems so insane that actually it's like probably one of the few cases where we've heard of that. And it feels really horrible that way around. But actually, it's always the other way around. But I think as soon as it's like the mocking is involved, I'm like, that's not really okay. So yeah, there was a weird one to read because it's like, it's not okay, but then it's always the other way.
Yeah.
And they know how much you're making. And then like, yeah. Like, how many makeup artists have second jobs? And then there's actors who are like, and again, I know there's a lot more comes with it. They have to do the promotion and everything. But like, there's normally a big discrepancy. So I just found that really interesting that actually they ended up taking him on and lowballing him and just being dicks, really.
Yeah, it's crazy. They just felt like they could do that. So I think when they came back, they had a $10 million budget. So the studio said, you have to cast well-known actors in the supporting roles. You just have to do it. Yeah. So I guess like Willem Dafoe, Reese Witherspoon, Jared Leto, like getting those names in there to kind of try and sell the film, I guess. Because I suppose Christian Bale, not well known, is a starring role, isn't gonna bring much in. So yeah.
But I mean, I didn't actually look at how much money it made in the end, but I still think it was beautifully cast. I think he did so well. He really put the work in for it. Sorry, I was like burping, I'm horrible. But didn't he say, I'm going to get the name wrong, he did, Tom Cruise did an interview, was it on Letterman, where Christian Bale was saying he watched it and he was like smiling but dead behind the eyes. And it's a bit of a weird interview. Once that's been pointed out to you, you can't unsee it.
Did you watch it?
I've seen like clips of it. I haven't watched the whole thing because it can be
awesome.
But it is weird. Like once that's pointed out, you're like, God, he really is like a soulless, the fuck is happening there? So like, I think Christian Bale really did so fucking good.
I just feel like no one can quite do it like Bale. Like, I don't know.
I can't, it's one of those, isn't it? It's like, I can't picture him, someone else now doing that role. It's like once an actor's done a big role, can you picture someone else in that role? Like there's so many examples.
Yeah,
it's just this was his role, and yeah, I'm sure someone else could have done a good job, but I don't need to see it because he smashed it.
No.
I know we already talked about the film, but one bit I was gonna flag, and again I should have said it earlier when we were talking about like being confused of kind of like what's real and what's not, is I find it that scene where he's in the second apartment, so he's in Paul Allen's apartment and it's full of dead bodies, but nobody for some reason can notice the smell, to the point they're having a threesome and nobody notices the smell. But then it all gets cleaned up and then they sell it. But the real estate person is really off with him. So it is that kind of thing. Like, wait, did he do it? Like, does she know who he is? Also, oh my God. Him checking himself out in the mirror while having sex. Like, me and my friend, I actually used to work with someone and I couldn't warm up to him. And I was like, what is wrong? Like, what is it about that guy I don't like? And I was talking to my mate about it. And I literally, for some reason, like American Psycho came to my head. I was like, it's because he's the type of guy who would check himself out while having sex. And my friend was like, oh my God, he is. And that was it. This guy was just so obsessed with himself. We were like, that is what he would do. And it was like, I just had this unnatural dislike for him.
Oh my God, that's hilarious.
You're Bateman.
That's why you don't like him.
That's why I don't like you, because you like yourself too much. Like, but it was really unsettling. I was like, what is it about you that I just fucking dislike? And it's that's what I didn't want to see. I was like, ew, no.
There we go. Oh my God. Yeah. That was a scene. I mean, that was what we were saying earlier. Like that whole scene, it was almost kind of comedic, really. Like the way he was checking himself out and this particular sort of scenes in it. And then suddenly it just took a much darker turn. yeah. with the whole coat hanger situation. And yeah.
Well, it's the Christine girl, I guess. Like, oh, don't look at her ass, eat it. But like at one point, he's having sex with, I can't remember what he calls the second girl. Because again, he doesn't even want to know their actual names. He names
Sabrina them. And Christy.
Sabrina. Christine. Yeah. And then at one point, he's having sex with Sabrina and Christy's watching, but she's smiling. Mm. So it is like, oh, you know.
So this... it's implied that maybe she's having a good time. Like,
yeah. Mm. And then it takes a turn. And it's, oh, fuck. I so wanted her to survive. She was so close to getting away.
I know. Well, it's, I mean, this film, I mean, obviously, rightly so, to state the obvious, but it's been heavily, heavily panned and criticised for the amount of violence against women there is in it. Because it's pretty, I mean, it goes from the woman at the bar when he is either in his thoughts or he said it out loud or whatever. Mm. It starts from then and it just goes on. And it's, I mean, he kills Paul Allen, but
he kills
mostly
Paul Allen.
they're all women.
Well, he also, I'd say he's typical, because I did think this. I was like, he, as we said, he tends to go for blondes. So that's his kind of, his victim. However, he does also kill the homeless guy. And then on the phone to his lawyer, he does say, I can't remember, 5 or 10 homeless people.
Mm.
So he is, although he's going after women and maliciously, actually, he's going after homeless people and sex workers because typically they're in an industry or they're homeless. So they're in a situation where if they're found dead, the authorities at the time and people didn't give a shit. And I say that really bluntly, but unfortunately, that was the perspective. People didn't care. They didn't care. Like Paul Allen, somebody would have cared about because he was a rich middle class man. Like, whereas someone not in as good a position, they were an easier victim.
That's a very good point, because all of the investigation with Willem Dafoe, sorry, I can't remember the guy's name, but Willem Dafoe investigating it, it's all about Paul Allen. It's nothing to do with any of the women. Yeah. None of the women have been quite, like, there's nothing in there. There's no investigation about them. It's all about this fucking white, privileged, rich young man that's gone missing.
Same with the lawyer at the end. He's like, oh, that message was hilarious. Killing those sex workers, killing the homeless people, and the only, and he's like, well, it can't be true because I saw Paul Allen yesterday or this week. So okay, so because one person might be alive, it's not possible that he could have killed a bunch of, but he doesn't care if he killed sex workers and homeless people.
No.
And that's why psychos but that is why some psychos get away with it for so fucking long. Sorry, some killers get away with it so fucking long, is because they cleverly, smartly choose their victims.
Yeah, like the Ipswich murderers, they're all mostly all sex workers, if not all. Like Yorkshire Ripper would go for people that like may not necessarily be, it may not be on their people's radar straight away to go looking for them. Like there was...
And then they get victim blamed because it's like, well, what did you expect working in that industry? What did you expect living in an alley? And it's like, people don't
the
do that.
Of it.
Yeah, people who are homeless need help. Like, you can't just be like, well, what did you expect, sleeping in a box? Fuck off. Anyone could become homeless in 2 months if you lose your job tomorrow. Like, fuck off. If you're working as your sex worker, yeah, you might enjoy it, but there's a good chance it's because things aren't going great. So, I get so angry.
Mm. Yeah, and this film, like, heavily was kind of more focused on violence against women, I think, than ones we've covered before in films, or one of them. I think it was just, I don't know what it was. I think it was just everything about it. It was from the group of men to how they spoke about women, how women were portrayed in the film.
Yeah,
like it kind of just ranged from everything, like Patrick telling Jean what to wear skirts, wear things like that. Like, fuck off, mate. Let her wear what the fuck she wants. And like, yeah, and I mean, picking up Christy, and she's saying, oh, I don't know, I needed to go to the emergency room last time. They think I might need surgery. And it goes back to like, you don't know what fucking happened, but you can just like, it's just not even worth, like, you can't even bear to think about like what she needs to go into fucking surgery for.
And then, but, like, he just throws money at her.
Like, throws money at her, and she's going to take it. Like, it's a job, like she needs to do it. And I found that scene very unsettling when her, like, the friend comes over and they're like chatting, and Yeah.
I got upset with that. Yeah. Because I was like, he's made her feel safe because his friend is there. But she's terrified.
Yeah. Yeah. And that scene when they're under the covers and then you just see blood coming up the covers and you're just like, Jesus Christ. And you just,
fear. So many people could have dobbed him in, like the fucking laundry when he tries to get his sheets cleaned. Like, there was just so many clues. Oh my God, fucking, he tried to kill the guy in the bathroom who is our great escape artist because he thought he was trying to hit on him. And thanks to his homophobia, he actually gets away.
Yeah,
but
literally, it's blatant homophobia. And then he's like, hands, oh, I've got to return videotapes.
Washing his hands with gloves on, like... but I love so that disgusted. Guy just like, who'd have thought he would have been the survivor, just like, call me, like,
I know. And again, like, all he did was show him his business card and Bateman was like, fuck you,
yeah,
and then goes in and yeah, that takes a bit of a turn. But I mean, because this film is meant to be kind of like a black comedy, loosely based, it is meant to be satirical sort of thing, so I mean now it's just straight up homophobia, but I wonder back then when it was released if people thought like that was quite funny, the fact that he was just like, I mean, in a way I understand why it was, because it's just a complete change of Patrick's character where he's just like he seems so thrown off by it that that's what's comedic about it, because he's just he just starts gulping and he's just like, wait, what? And that's quite
It's fun seeing him uncomfortable when he's put everyone else in that position. Yeah. And it's like, oh, it's not nice. Like, you know, it's not nice when people immediately assume you're a sex object. Is it, Patrick? But it's, I can't even know what I was going to say. But as you say, it is satire, and it is because it was taking the piss, or it was taking a dark comic look at kind of like men and like that mentality of the era. So although it's, people can complain and say there's a lot of violence against women, there was a lot of violence against women.
There is.
It's supposed to be in the film because it fucking happened.
Yeah.
And is happening. Like, I hate that when they're like, well, you can't put it in the film. I said, but it's fucking happening in real life.
Exactly.
Again, I'm angry.
No, it's true. And like, well, when people are saying it was like a exaggerated version of a privileged man. And it's like, well, is it that exaggerated? I mean,
yeah.
I'm pretty sure that's how a lot of men speak about women nowadays. Like,
yep.
This is a fucking depressing conversation, but not much has changed. I'm just going to say it. Like,
no. We
still look at the world and the state of the world and how women are treated in this world. Like, a lot hasn't changed in that in that amount of time.
I'm sure every woman will have a story from the workplace where they've been spoken down to or told what to wear, or they shouldn't wear that, or if you want to be taken seriously, this, that, or the other. And it's all advice from mediocre men. And I say mediocre because the ones who actually are decent will actually help you out. They're not the ones putting you down. And there is a fucking difference. And like, that's the thing. And maybe we'll do that as an Instagram story. We're like, tell us your fucking horrors in the workplace.
I feel like we should. I mean, we're covering, I mean, as two women covering a podcast that is very, very much focused on violence against women, I think it's important for us to sort of voice our opinions on it.
Yeah, we should.
People are very quick to go to the fun hip to square scene and all of that. And it's an absolutely incredible film.
It's a brilliant scene.
A lot of
scene.
It is very fun. A lot of it is very, you know, violent, and it's entertaining, but there is that there's that huge element of it where you can't help but just get fucking angry when you're watching it.
No, it is true.
As two women, I feel like we have to address that.
I love the idea, though. Had the film gone on for another 10 minutes, 15 minutes, it would have been Jean calling the detective with that diary as evidence, and she could have been the one to bring him down.
Yeah.
Hopefully she quit her fucking job and ran away, because, dear God, like, terrifying to find that.
Well, Mary Harron, the director, she had a few doubts about the ending, because she didn't want people to be like, oh, it was all a dream, because she said she fucking hates films like that.
Yeah.
And I definitely didn't take it as that. I thought of it as like, maybe some of it happened, maybe all of it happened, but because he lives in this privileged world where people aren't taking notice of him anyway, they're kind of covering it up. like the older woman in the flat, she's kind of covering this
just
this mess
go
up.
Yeah.
Just go, like, it's sorted. But she said it was Patrick Bateman is always intended to be a serial killer. Like, there's no doubt about that. Not all of it was a dream, but it's very interesting. It's completely open to interpretation, but I would certainly not agree that it was all a dream. Like, I never thought that about this film. I very much thought that he was doing these things.
I think he absolutely did. And again, when they're like, Paul Allen's alive, I was like, is he? Do we know who Paul Allen is?
Exactly.
I think he definitely did it. I think that's the only one, again, with a question mark. But I think what we're supposed to see, as you say, like the privileged getting away, literally getting away with murder. But he's also, I think we do see him taking meds. So whether they make him foggy, but the fact that, you know, if you have got a really good lawyer and they're telling you, oh, you didn't do this, we've cleaned it up, do you start to believe that yourself? Like, if you're constantly having people around you telling you you didn't do this, you're going to doubt yourself. So actually, he's going to start thinking, oh, which ones did I do? Which ones did I dream? What did I, what was my fantasy and what was real?
Look at these privileged men that get off for shit.
Yeah.
For killing people of color, for raping women. How many frat boys get away with shit like this?
Because, and then they stand there and go, I didn't do it. And they look like they believe it because they've so many people backing them.
They've made it go away. These people have made it go away. And how often does that happen in fucking real life?
Yeah.
All the time.
Oh, every day. Literally every fucking day. And it's terrifying.
We're angry.
We're so angry. I love this film. But
I love this film. But you're allowed to be, we're fucking allowed to have these opinions.
Yeah, like, again, that's the point of films. And this is why
that's what's so brilliant about film.
Yeah, that is it. Because you're supposed to interpret it and it's supposed to make you think about real life. And it's when, it's okay. Yeah, there is a lot of violence against women in here because there's a lot of violence against women.
Precisely.
Precisely.
anyway.
I mean, I honestly think we could easily do a part two. I could do a little bit more research about, digging a little bit deeper into the psychology behind this and that, and I'd be up for a part two, but I couldn't do it just yet because I need to do some research.
No, and I'd love to give you guys a bit more information about the book. I mean, anyone out there that hasn't read it that's interested in doing it, I would totally recommend reading it. If you're, I don't know, easily triggered, or if you've got a weak stomach, then maybe you're not. But just proceed with caution. I would say it's probably the most graphic film book I've ever read in my life. So maybe just proceed with caution. But I would like to go back, like you said, Tal, and do maybe a bit more research on the book. And well, we've got a lot of posts. We've got a lot of ideas.
As I say, we could generally talk about this film for ages.
Exactly.
But for now, we will put a pin in it. And I will ask you, would you survive Patrick Bateman?
I'm going to say no.
The American Psycho. Sorry, I paused too long.
Sorry. I'm going to say no.
Okay.
Because I'm a woman.
Yeah, unfortunately, yeah.
I don't know. I think I would, struggle to get out of the old flat in his apartment before anything could happen. Or maybe I would because I'm not blonde.
Oh, I was going to say the flat is where it's hard because they're all fucking mazes.
Yeah. What about you? I'm thinking no.
No, I thought I was screwed until you said we're not blonde. Oh, Charlie, sorry, you're down, mate.
But wasn't Sabrina, like, she wasn't fully blonde, was she? Because he makes a comment. He's like, oh, I would say you're kind of more...
more strawberry blonde, mousy
yeah,
blonde?
Auburn or whatever he said. Like, he... Because she wasn't, like, blonde, but...
What colour hair did his friend have? The one who was, like, drinking with him on the sofa the second time he had Christine?
She was dark.
So, yeah, maybe we are screwed. Maybe...
Yeah, fuck it, we're screwed.
I think my problem is, I think I'd be more like, there's me being like, if a guy acted like that, I could tell they're a psycho. Watch me be the one who's in their flat drinking wine, completely oblivious. Cheers. Yeah, I'd want to say yes. I just don't want to get that cocky because
I'm not sure it's going to happen this time.
It feels like victim blaming if you're like, well, they should have survived, because actually he was literally a fucking psycho using everything in his power against them. So
that's the thing.
I'm gonna say no.
Okay, so what is your spook and how many spooks, Chantal?
Ooh, okay. So my spook is, it has to be Jared Leto's death scene. It's hip to be square. You and I were out the other night and we'd obviously already watched the film in preparation and we could not stop quoting this film. But all we kept quoting, well, for a lot of the night, was that scene. And it was just like, do you want a drink? Yes, Katie. And it was just...
Do you like Hugh Lewis in the news?
is that a raincoat? Why, yes, Katie. It's just iconic. And I love as well that when he when he axes him, there wasn't only meant to be blood on one half of the face. That was an accident. But I kind of, it's become awesome. Such an iconic look now that it works. So I'm gonna go with that because I just think it's brilliant. It's so, again, we've said it before. We love that contrast between the really dark and the really happy song happening at the same time. And I just think it's, and he's fucking screaming after us, try and get a reservation now. Yeah, so you did in the train station. I was in fucking stitches. So yeah, it was nice to see a man die after all the violence against women that we had, although I think that actually came in the wrong order. But I'm going to give it 4.5 out of 5 because I think there is still, yeah, there's definitely some problems with it, but I do fucking love it. And as we say, I do want to keep deep diving it. So what about you?
I 100% agree with you on every single thing you just said.
Yes.
My spook is the same as yours, and my spooks out of 5 are the same as yours. So, and you've said it all, mate, so I don't have to say anymore.
See, now I'm really worried that if one of us is busy and we have to do the podcast on our own one week, it's fine because we'll just say the same thing anyway.
Yeah, it'll be fine. If you have to do it one day, I'll just agree with you. Don't worry about it.
Amazing. That was American Psycho. Do check out our socials. Give us a like, follow, subscribe. It does help us out and it makes us feel loved. So, you know, a little bit. Katie's currently dancing to Hip to Be Square. But we'll see you in a couple of weeks. Check out, as I said, our socials and we'll announce what film we're doing ahead of time. Until then, bye.
Bye-bye.
Don't die.
Fuck it out.
I feel like... Try getting a reservation. Where is it?
Oh, yeah, we can clip that in.
I was going to say, clip it in now.
Try getting a reservation at Dorkin now, you fucking stupid